There are two kinds of sorrow. There's one is the one on the right hand side is godly sorrow. The other one is worldly sorrow. That one leads to death. That one leads to salvation. I give you some kind of proof. First, talk about worldly. I want you to write that down right beside 7:10. Worldly sorrow. You write down Matthew chapter 27. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. The one who betrayed Jesus Christ, a Judah, he has sorrow, but his sorrow is worldly sorrow. Okay? Chapter 27, verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who has betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. He was seized with remorse. I want you to write that down. That is worldly sorrow. And then returned the 30 silver coin to the chief priests and the elders, saying to the chief priests and saying to the elder, I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. And then let's hear what the chief priest and the elder respond to his saying. What is that to us? They reply, that is your responsibility. So Judah threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. I want you to write that down. Matthew chapter 27, 1 to 5. A worldly sorrow lead to death. And then the saint in Corinth, they have godly sorrow that leads to salvation. And I tell you what's the reason why I know when Judah, who betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned and he was seized with remorse, how do I know his remorse is a worldly way, not a godly one? Right beside remorse, I want you to turn to another portion of the scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. There are three pairs of teaching. That is the foundation of our Christian faith. If someone asks you, what did the Christian believe? That is what we believe. That is the foundation. Just like when you build a building, you need to have a foundation, solid foundation. There are three pairs, total six teaching. That is the foundation of our Christian faith. I read that to you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ. These are the elementary teaching about Christ. Go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from act that leads to death and of faith in God. Repentance itself is not good enough. Repentance has to come with faith in God. But in Judah, he didn't have faith in God. Turn back to Matthew chapter 27. When he realized that Jesus was condemned and he was seized with remorse and then returned the 30 silver coin to the chief priest and elder. He didn't come to Jesus. He did not come to Jesus. He come to the chief priest. He come to the elder, right beside the chief priest and the elder. That proved that Judah has no faith in Jesus Christ. I say that one more time. The foundation of our Christian faith has three pairs. Repentance in itself is not good enough. Even though you realize that your sins against God is not good enough. And even though you confess that I have sinned, that's not good enough. Even though you have said that I have betrayed innocent blood, that's not good enough. Because you're not saying to Jesus. You're saying to the chief priest. You're saying to the elders. You know what did the chief priest and the elder respond to his saying? That is your responsibility. What is this to us? The first pair of the elementary teaching is repentance from act that leads to death and faith in God. That's the first pair. Second pair is instruction about baptism and the laying on of hand. That's the second pair. The third pair is the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. If you don't know that sixth pair, you haven't even believed in God yet. Judah is like that. Okay? Now, go back. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I don't know whether I get enough time, so I start with the a key words in verse, starting in verse 8. Even if I cause you sorrow by my letter is the 1 Corinthians. You write that down. Even if I cause you sorrow by my letter, that is the 1 Corinthians, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Brother and sister, godly sorrow. When you hear the word of God, the first thing you realize, you get hurt. But I want you to remember, when you hear something that you don't like to hear, even though it hurt you, but you say to yourself, it's only for a little while. Circle the word, for a little while. Give you some illustration as far as student is concerned. Now is July. If you want to get a good grade, don't wait until September you start studying. You should start studying now. Oh, you feel hurt because you have your plan, you plan to enjoy your life in the summer. Don't plan. You get hurt a little bit now, you're going to get good grade, you're going to get scholarship, and you're going to get a good job. Remember that. Any kind of godly sorrow will bring you hurt. A lot of people, I feel hurt and then run away, I feel depressed. That means you are a loser. If you are overcomer, you know that kind of hurt won't last for long. Only for a little while. 7, 8, circle that. Okay? And then 7, 9. Yet now I'm happy. Not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended. You became sorrowful as God intended. That is godly sorrow. In other words, if you truly have godly sorrow instead of worldly sorrow, and so were not harmed in any way by us, you realize When you hear something you don't like it, remember it. First of all, it only lasts a short while. And after that, no more pain. And I will be prosperous and successful, and I can take it. And secondly, when I take that advice, at the end of the day, it won't hurt me. It won't bring me any harm. It will bring me all kind of benefit and good stuff, so I can take it. And Paul say that the kind of letter that I write to you cause you not harm in any way by us. Not harm in any way by us. I want you to circle the word by us. And then go back to chapter 7, verse 2. If you make room for Paul in your heart, that means if you accept Paul's teaching, you realize that when you take his advice, he won't bring you any harm. Okay? Why? Because Paul said that we have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. And he is a good person. Listen to me carefully, okay? I want you to learn how to take advice. Listen to me carefully. Learn to take advice at home. If you do not learn that, you will be in deep trouble because your father, your mother, that is your parents, he will do you no harm. Never. Some other people will do you harm, but your parents will do you no harm. I want you to write that down, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. And I'm not saying that we as parents are good parents. Even though we are no good, yet we know how to give good stuff to our children. You understand what I'm trying to say? But another friend may not, okay? I want you to write that down. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Brother and sister, I want you to learn to take advice. Write that down. At home, from your parents. Secondly, at the church, from your pastor. Okay? But since that I want you to be a prudent man, to be a wise man, check him out. Make sure your parents saying God's word. Okay? Make sure your pastor saying God's word. Don't just accept it. You check him out, ask him, where does it come from? Okay? And then once you learn this at home, you learn it at the church, you'll be good to go. Okay? Now, go back in verse 10. Godly sorrow bring repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. When you realize, you take that advice, okay? At the end, you have eternal life. You have no harm. Even though you feel hurt only for a little while, yes, I can take that, okay? Yes, I can take that. On top of that, worldly sorrow bring death. I don't want to die. Verse 11. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourself, and what indignation, and what alarm, and what longing, and what concern, and what readiness to see justice done. As every point you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. In other words, if you truly have got this sorrow, it not only leads to eternal life, leads to salvation, it leads you to have a new life. You're going to live a new life. When I was young, I didn't take advice from my parents, so I suffered harm. And now, as I'm getting older, I learn it in a hard way. Especially your parents, even though they are evil, but they know how to give good gifts to you. If you turn him down, you will be in deep trouble, just like what Paul said in 7:2. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. If that person is so good to you, why would you reject his advice? You would be a fool. Fortunately, the saints in the Corinth accept Paul's advice, and then their life was changed. I want you to write that down, right beside 7:11. You write down new life. They live a new life. That kind of life is like what? I want you to write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, all the way to 18. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? There's no agreement. Why? For we are the temple of the living God, because we have the Holy Spirit live within our heart. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, said the Lord. Touch no unclean things, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my son and daughter, said the Lord Almighty. I want you to write that down. 16:6:16 to 6:18, you write down right beside 7:11. The reason why these people, when they listened to Paul's teaching, their life was changed, it is because Jesus Christ lived among them and walked among them, encouraged them, and Jesus said, I am your God and you are my people. And I am your father and you are my son and daughter. I help you along to do the right thing. By our own means, like worldly sorrow, has no power to do the right thing. But with godly sorrow, if you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, unfortunately, Judah, who betrayed Jesus Christ, he did not have the Holy Spirit. If he has the Holy Spirit will tell him that chief priest and elder cannot save your life. You don't have faith in them. Okay? Write that down. Have faith in God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. When the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, said to the people of Judah and said to the people of Jerusalem, what did he say? He said, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophet, and you will be successful. And that fellow, Judah, is not upheld. He was so remorse. And then the chief priest say, what it got to do with us? You make the mistake, you take the responsibility. He didn't know Jesus. He walked with Jesus for 3 years, 3.5 years. He has no understanding of the scripture. Brother and sister, look at me. I want you to make sure when you go to a church, you understand God's word. When you are in trouble, I want you to know, you don't turn to chief priest, you don't turn to the elder. Who do you turn to? Psalm 46, King David, verse 1 said, I turn to my God. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's my ever-present help in times of trouble. I don't turn to any man, nor do I turn to any immortal man or princes. I turn to my Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, He's my ever-present help in times of trouble. He didn't know that because he has no faith in God. He thought he confessed he would be all right. No, he's not all right. I say that one more time. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, what's the first prayer? The first prayer is repentance from sins that leads to death and have faith in God. Faith in God, not faith in man. You turn to Jesus. You look at him in the face. Jesus, I now confess my sins to you and ask you to forgive all my sins. I betray you because of my ignorance. I now confess all my sin. I ask you to forgive me. You think Jesus Christ will forgive him? Do you think Jesus Christ will forgive him? Or Jesus Christ will not forgive him? Sally? Say that loudly. What was the proof? How do you know? First John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, acknowledge that we are wrong against God, he is righteous and he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive all my sins and cleanse all our unrighteousness. I want you to write that down right beside 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You write down 2 Corinthians. I want you to write that down, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. I want to circle the word. Reconciling the world to himself in Christ. In Christ. Not in the chief priest. Not in the elders. In Christ. Okay? God say, not counting man's sins against them, but counting man's sins against Jesus Christ. That is chapter 5, verse 21. God make Jesus Christ, who has no sins, to be sin's offering for us. Because all our sin fallen into the life of Jesus Christ. So that in Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. You cannot turn to the chief priest, nor can you turn to the elder. And they say, what it got to do with me? I cannot take your sin. Only one person can take your sin. That is Jesus Christ. He is the sinless. Take our sins. Everybody say, do you understand? Do you understand? You know what? When your pastor say that, you know, when you confess your sins to someone else, not confess your sins to Jesus Christ, it will do you no good. You know, that's why I say, if you go to Catholic Church, you are in deep trouble. Because Catholic teaching, asking you, if you sin against God, you confess your sins to the priest, right? That's wrong, okay? That's why a lot of Catholics, they don't read the scripture. They thought they are saved, but they go to hell, they don't even know that. And they feel upset when I say that. Don't feel upset. Check the scripture, okay? Check the scripture. You think the priest can forgive your sins? He cannot. You think the priest can take your sins away? He cannot. Right? People don't read the scripture and they follow the tradition. And that's exactly what Judah has done. And then later on in life, he hanged himself. Right? Worldly sorrow leads to death. Godly sorrow leads to salvation. Do you remember there's two robbers, two criminals? One was crucified on the left side, one was crucified on the right side. At the very beginning, both of them cursed as Jesus. And at the final hour, one of them repent and then have faith in Jesus. He never followed Jesus, and yet that guy has the wisdom and say to Jesus, remember me when your kingdom come. When your kingdom come, and Jesus say, I remember you because you asked the right person. Tonight, you'll be with me in paradise. Everybody say, there's a proof that my teaching is the right teaching. Have no faith in any person, only faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Keep going. Chapter 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 11 again. That's a new light. You know, like when your parents give you advice, you take that advice and you obey, and then you live a new life. And you, when you live a new life, you realize that it is God who motivates you to listen to your parents. When your pastor gives you advice, you listen to that pastor teaching, and then you walk in step with it. That means God lives among you, and God walks among you. And God will say to you, I am your God, and you are my people. I am your father, and you are my children. That is a wonderful blessing. Prove it. Prove it you are God's people. Prove it you are God's children by your new life. Not being upset, knowing that the hurt only lasts a little while, and he will do me no harm. He gives me all kind of benefit. More than that, I have eternal life. And my life will be prosperous and successful. Because when I listen to my parents, listen to the pastor, I'm listening to God. Because 2 Chronicles, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, you will be successful. And Jesus Christ said, if you accept the one I sent, you are accepting me. If you accept me, you accept the one who sent me, who is the Heavenly Father. And Paul also said that. Chapter 4, verse 8 in 1 Thessalonians. If you reject my teaching, and I'm afraid you're not rejecting me, you are rejecting the one who gave you the Holy Spirit. If you are God's sheep, you recognize Jesus' voice, and you will follow him. Whereas the church in Corinth, they accept Paul's teaching. Why? In verse 2, they make room. Make room for us in your heart. Accept Paul's teaching in their heart. Because they realize that Paul have wronged no one. Paul have corrupted no one. Paul has exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in my heart that we would live and die with you. When Paul has such a kind affection to his audience, the audience should respond to the pastor the same way. Make room for this pastor in your heart. Accept his teaching. And then Paul said that in verse 4, I have great confidence in you. You know why Paul has great confidence in you? Because you write that down? You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Expel in the name of Jesus Christ the one who commit adultery with his father's wife, kick him out. That is Jesus' command to Paul and Paul's command to the people in the church of Corinth. And then there was lawsuit in chapter 6 among believers, and Paul rebuilt them, and they listened to Paul's teaching. And chapter 5 and chapter 6 is Jesus' teaching, and they accept that. They follow this instruction and turn around. And because Paul knows that, because this is the teaching Jesus wants me to teach them, when Jesus, just like the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, God will not do anything unless he speaks first. He reveals his plan, what to do, and then he do it. Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servant, the prophet. First of all, he revealed his plan. What he's going to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he revealed his plan, and then he do it. If you don't follow me, I'm going to discipline you, and God say. And lo and behold, and God disciplined them. And then when they see that God discipline, they turn around and do things. I want you to write that down. Numbers 23, 19. The sovereign Lord is not man that he should lie. The sovereign Lord God is not son of man that he should change his mind. When he speak, will he not do it? He will do it. When he speak first and he will do it. And Paul say that, I have confidence. I know God will do it, but I don't, but he didn't know when will God do it. He know that God will do it. 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Definitely he will do it. So that's why Paul say that, I have confidence in you. I know that when God asked me to speak that, and he will do something about that. And I know that your life will be changed. Go back. And Paul say that, I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I'm greatly encouraged. And in all our trouble, my joy knows no bound. You know what? You know what make a pastor very, very happy? Whatever he say, as long as this is God want him to say, when he say that, and he see that God act, God fulfill his promise, he will be very, very happy. Do you remember last Wednesday? I mentioned it, Lo Sung Yen, elder brother, has pancreatic cancer, right? Because that's the diagnosis from Windsor, Ontario Hospital. And they bring that report to the U of A. They take a plane, and then I get a call from Lo Sung Yen saying that my elder brother has cancer. Could you pray for him? I say, yes, I can. Let's go to the window, lift up our eyes to heaven, and see where our help come from, and then we bow down and pray. You remember that? And then, later on, I think it is today's Sunday, Saturday, I think it's Friday, right? Friday, I receive a call from Lo Sung Yen. And then, after numerous tests, again, a group of doctors say, it may not be a tumor. The size supposed to be 4 centimeters, now it's 3.6. You know who is the most happiest man in the world? Do you know who? I'm the most happiest man in the world. One thing I do know, when I'm in trouble, I bow down before God and lift up my eyes to the heaven. My Lord Jesus Christ. He sits enthroned over the flood, and he promised me, I will give you peace and I will give you strength in times of trouble. When you realize what you preach and what you teach according to God's will, and he acts, he fulfills his promise. Everybody say? What did I say? Learn obedience from where? Hannah? From parents at home first. And then at the church. And then in your workplace. Listen to your supervisor. You don't listen to them, he will fire you. There's no point to fight with them because God gives them power to supervise me. Learn their submission, just like the book of Job, submit to the Lord, and you will have peace and prosperity will come to you. 22, 21. Go back to Job, 22, 21. Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Don't argue. Argue will do you no good. Submission will do you a lot of good and no harm. And the hurt is only for a little while. You overcome that, you have a new life. Why bother arguing, right? It will do you no good. Keep going. Chapter 7. Second Corinthians chapter 7. When they hear God's word, God's voice through Paul. And then verse 11. See that this godly sorrow has produced in you what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourself, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, and what concern. Right beside what longing. Longing for what? You write down 7-7. 7-7. Titus told me about your longing for me. You know what? Someone rebuild you, you're longing for him. That means your life has changed, right? Most of the time, if someone rebuild you, you run away from him. You don't want to see him anymore because you know that you see him, he's going to rebuild you again, right? But he's longing for Paul because he knows that what Paul's saying is right. Brother and sister, that is new life. It's God live in your life. That's why your life is changed. When someone rebuild you, you think that he's your enemy. No, he's not your enemy. And then they make room for Paul in their heart. And Titus told me that your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, that is new life. That's the Holy Spirit work in you and give you a new life. Is it good stuff? That's good stuff. It's not like Judah. Keep going. And verse 12. So even though I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who died. I say it again. Verse 12. So even though I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who did the wrong, the offender, or the one injury party to the one who are offended. No, the letter I wrote is not for them, but rather that before God, you could see for yourself how devoted to us you are. Wow. You know what make your parents happy? Not giving them money. They don't need your money. You give them obedience. Listen to their teaching. You give them joy. When you devoted to the Pastor Paul, and you make him very, very happy. Now, because Paul writing is according to the Lord's command, and Paul write according to the Lord's command, and now God, and then Paul see the changes in life in the Paul in the church in Corinth. By this, we are encouraged. I want you to write that down. Right beside encourage, you write down not equal to Job. You remember Job? Job, the Lord commanded him Jonah. You remember Jonah? The Lord sent him to Nineveh. That's the big city of the Assyrian kingdom, and then pronounced to them, 40 more days, your entire city will be destroyed. And then he pronounced this condemnation. Lo and behold, from the slave to the king, they all repent and turn around. And when God see that, he relent. He say, I don't send this calamity into this city. I spare this city. As it is written, you write that down, Jeremiah 18, 7 to 8. Jeremiah 18, 7 to 8. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I have planned. That's exactly what happened. And you know who upset? Jonah feel very upset because people say, well, you say that within 40 days, this great city of Nineveh will be destroyed. Now it's not destroyed. That means you're a false prophet. He was very, very upset. What makes a pastor very happy is when he teach his congregation, they listen to him and then get eternal life, at the same time get a new life, get blessing, won't be depressed anymore, will be prosperous and successful, the pastor will be very, very happy. And that's why Paul said, I'm very, very encouraged. Right? It's a win-win situation. Isn't it? Isn't it good? Okay. Let's see. And then in addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was. Why? You know why? When Titus happy, Paul is happy. You know why? Because Titus was sent by Paul. Because Paul cannot go there, right? Paul sent his co-worker. I want you, Titus, I want you to go to Corinth and teach them to see when I write the 1 Corinthians 16 chapter, give them instruction. I want to see whether they obey. And Titus go there. And I think Titus may not want to go there at first. You know why? Because then Paul say, don't worry. I have confidence in these people because I know that my teaching is God's teaching and God will do something about that. So that's why he boasts in front of Titus about the church of Corinth. And because of that boasting, and Titus go because he know that. No one will do a job if you know that your job going to fail, right? And he did the job. He know that what Paul saying is right. So he'd go and do it. He boasts about the church of Corinth in front of Titus, and lo and behold, it turned out to be true. I read that to you. In addition to our encouragement, our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy my co-worker Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. How did the church of Corinth refresh the spirit of Titus? Because they obey. They obey Paul's teaching. And they treat Titus very, very well. Verse 14. I have boasted to Titus about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, and our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. Wow, that's good. Paul know that my teaching to you is true because I was commanded by Jesus Christ to do so. And I know that when he tell me to do it, and he did it. And now when I boast about you, it turned out to be the true too. Isn't it good? Wow, that is very, very happy, right? Anyway, do you know why God gave him such a joyful heart? I want you to write that down. You write down 7:5. For when we came to Macedonia, this body of ours has no rest, and we were harassed at every turn. Conflict on the outside, fear within. But God, who comforted the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you have given him. He told us about your longing for me. He told us about your deep sorrow, that is godly sorrow that leads to eternal life, and your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Wow. You know what? Because God knows that when he sent his faithful servant Paul to leave Asia Minor, to leave Turkey, to go into the Europe, that's the Macedonian, the first city, is a difficult place, but that place God can encourage his servant. You understand? Whenever you listen to God's voice and do his thing, even though you're very, very tired, he can refresh you. He will perform miracles. He will do things beyond your expectation. Just like chapter 2, verse 9 in 1 Corinthians. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, for those who wait for him, who delight to do right things, and who remember God's way. You love him, you remember his word, you do exactly what he told you to do, and then after you have done it, you wait for his blessing, for his encouragement, you got it. Oh, wow. I thank God, you know, to have chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. That really encouraged me. How he blessed Paul, he will bless each and every one of us. And then, verse 15, and his affection, Titus' affection for you is all the greater when he remembered that you were all obedient. Wow, I like that. You were all obedient. I want to circle the word all obedient. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. God called Paul to be the apostle to the Gentile, and then Paul called all people, all Gentiles, to the obedient that come from faith. When you obey God's voice, obey God's word, you get nothing but blessing. And he is extremely happy that he see that you're obedient to him. You know what make your daddy happy, Moses? Obey him or disobey him? Okay. Circle the word, you write it down, and then Moses says so. 7:15. And his affection for you is all the greater when he remembered that you were all obedient, receiving him, right beside receiving him, you write down 7:2. Make room for us in your heart. They indeed did exactly what Paul said so. Receiving Paul, receiving Titus with fear and trembling. And I'm glad I have a complete confidence in you. He write that down, verse 16. He write that down, chapter 7, verse 4. I have great confidence in you, in 7:4. 7:16, I'm glad I have complete confidence in you. Brother and sister, make sure you remember one thing. If your repentance, if your sorrow is godly sorrow, it will lead to life. That is eternal life, and it leads to new life. When you live a new life, you get blessing. Your parents and your pastor, we have confidence in you. You're good to go. Once you experience God's blessing, you know how to get the blessing. And you can keep getting the blessing. From the fullness of His grace, we can all receive one blessing after another. Learn from it. Remember that? Moses, what did I say? When you hear something that rebuild you, you feel hurt, but that hurt is to last a long time, or only what? Only a little while. And if it will do you no harm. It will do you a lot of good. Eventually, you'll be prosperous and successful. Is this good stuff? Our Heavenly Father, we heard what you have said to us. I pray that every time when your servant was sent to wherever you send him, help him to preach according to your will, according to your word. Make it clear to your children so that they fully understand you and know you better. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.